All right, are we on?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, this is episode 3 of Earthships in Cancer, Case Studies and Clinical Trials. This is also kind of my journey into it, and we'll see where that leads. no holds barred. So, you know, the more I get into the whole cancer thing, the more I see an amazing amount of parallels on changing your point of view, basically. You know, somebody said in one of these books, cancer is nothing but a fruit and vegetable deficiency. And you know what? It's almost true when you look at all of these scientific studies. And, you know, we were, if you don't have cancer, we're okay. Our bodies seem to be okay. You can check this out. With about 10% of our diet being animal protein of some kind, milk, dairy, meat, 10% if you don't have cancer. Who does that? I was doing 60 to 70%. Dairy, and I had cheese. I had cheese on everything. I had cheese on cheese. And ate meat and cottage cheese. I'd have a salad that, you know, I would think would be healthy because I went to the best salad bar in the world at a Brazilian restaurant in Albuquerque before each trip. And I'd have a pile of salad of all the vegetables and everything. And then I'd have another 8 inches of cottage cheese and cheese. And then sprinkles, and then Parmesan. I'd have a mountain of cheese. So, and then I find out that casein from dairy is basically as bad as plutonium. So I'm seeing that I was always taught that cheese and dairy were healthy, and meat you needed for protein. I'd eat a lot of meals, just meat. Hell with the vegetables, just get the protein. I need energy. Well, no wonder I've got cancer. So, another thing I have found out is I find out that, you know, there are two kinds of protein. There's plant protein and meat protein and animal protein. Just like there are two kinds of energy. There's more than two, but two that I look at a lot. One is energy that we manufacture, coal-fired, nuclear-fired. You know, we manufacture energy. And then there's energy that comes from the sun and the wind. And those are two kinds of energy that we can deal with. And looking at the two kinds of energy and the two kinds of protein. Now, there's another statement that I've seen recently is the most security that I can imagine is being able to shift my point of view. Now, some people will call that rationalization, but, you know, if you're able to shift your point of view, then what did look bad can look good. That's what I mean. If you can't shift, if you can't change, if you can't evolve, if you can't maneuver your intellectual perspective on things, then, yeah, you're in deep shit. Whereas if you can maneuver, you know, it's as simple as this. What does this look like? This is a pamphlet of the wizard book they're putting out. From this view, what does this look like? From this view, what's it look like? You know, from this view. There's three different views right there. And so what I'm saying is everything looks different depending on what view you look at it from. I'm looking at, you know, I definitely have changed my point of view. I'm looking at animal products in total, eggs, dairy, and meat as plutonium as poison. I've shifted my point of view, and I love them. Bacon, oh my God, I could eat bacon and cheese I could eat bacon and cheese forever. That would be my diet. So I have shifted my point of view because I have discovered that the biology and the physics of that protein is detrimental to my health. And if I didn't have cancer, I'd just slow down. Since I have cancer, I don't have time to slow down. I have to shut it off completely. And you know, there's a lot to be said about being able to shift your point of view. I mean, there's a the concept of the storage of heat, for instance, is, you know, it shifts your point of view on heat. I mean, I have been in situations where southern tip of Argentina, Tierra del Fuego, they have an abundance of natural gas, so they build the buildings without hardly any insulation, and they just heat the living daylights out of them to the point where you can walk down the sidewalk and feel the heat from coming from the buildings. Now, that's not going to last forever, but you can store heat in mass and not have to put so much heat in buildings. And when you have an example of that is we had done a test on an Earthship, a global model. We had the guy that was staying in it open all the skylights. This was a winter evening. He opened all the skylights and all the doors and everything. Opened the building up, tubes, all of it. And I told him to leave it open until the temperature inside the building was approaching freezing. I didn't want to kill all the plants. You know, 33 or 34 or something like that. So he did it. And within an hour, he called me and he got the temperature down to almost freezing. And I said, now, close it up. Everything, close it back up. And call me in an hour. Now, this building is an Earthship. It had no heating system. He closed it up. He called me in an hour, and I said, what's the temperature? He said, 69 degrees. The temperature came back from the storage and the thermal mass. That gives you, there's some physics there, but that gives you a blatant understanding of thermal mass. Whereas the buildings in Argentina, the minute you turn off the natural gas, the toilet bowl freezes. So there is the difference. You're understanding some physics, so all of a sudden, you're probably going to shift your point of view. Now, let's say that you don't believe in gravity. But you're conservative, so you want to try something simple at first. So you're going to jump off of a one-story building because you don't believe in gravity. Well, when you hit the ground, sprain your ankle or even stove your knee, you're gonna change your point of view. You know, there are unarguables like that. The physics of thermal mass is unarguable. The physics of gravity is unarguable. Because we're intellectual, we have intellect, which is just another word for ego and arrogance. We have the arrogance to think that we can create and change. And yes, we have done it in some ways. Yeah, we got airplanes that can fly. Well, the amount of fuel that they take and what they're doing to the atmosphere is, there's got to be a better way to fly, is all I'm saying. But we have broken gravity, so we've got fueled our arrogance, so that makes us think we can break everything. But the Japanese nuclear power plant that melted down it's breaking everything. It's going to take, and this is a fact, look it up, it's going to take at least 10 years to develop the technology that we can apply to correct that situation. Otherwise, until then, if they say 10, it means 15, until then, the thing is belching radioactivity into the waters and the skies of the Earth. That's where our arrogance goes wrong. See, if your arrogance goes wrong with, if your arrogance goes wrong with growing tomatoes, why, you don't hurt anything. If your arrogance goes wrong with collecting the sun, yeah, you may melt a typewriter. But our arrogance in trying to recreate nature is going wrong. And it's the same thing with the diets and the foods. Nobody knows. I didn't know it until recently that there are two kinds of proteins, just like there are two kinds of energy. Plant protein is different than animal-based protein. However, they both do provide the body its protein, but if you eat more than 10% of animal-based protein, it misfires, and you can get the biology of it from other books. It stores up in your body and becomes a platform for carcinogenic activity. Whereas if you eat 90% plant protein, it can't do anything. It doesn't do anything. I didn't know that. Yes, it gives you your protein. So eat as, they say, eat as much spinach as you can hold. You know what I mean? Popeye. What was that about? But eat as much spinach as you can hold. But don't eat as much milk as you can hold, or you will die. And so, you know, there's the facts on that. Shifting your point of view is hard. But I'll tell you what will shift your point of view, and i.e. light a fire under your ass, is having stage 4 cancer and knowing that you got the choice of, mine's prostate cancer. So I've got the choice of, I went to one of the best cancer institutes, and it's chop my balls off, cut out my prostate, cut out all the lymphs that it has spread to, which are many, and take radiation. And on top of all of that, if I'm still walking in my diaper, then I take these pills that are, you take them every month, you run out every month, you take a bottle a month, and they cost $11,000 a bottle. Now, that pretty much iced it for me. I said, okay, I told them, I choose death. You know, I'm not going to do that. That's playing into the thing that we keep feeding. Nobody's at fault here, no one person. It is a growth of, it's a cancerous growth that has taken over our beings due to maybe an excess of a masturbation of intellectualization or something like that. So what we have done is we have created a situation where we feed ourselves foods that we weren't supposed to eat that much of, but we have made a fantasy, fantastic, festy business out of it, eating the barbecue and the cheese enchiladas and everything, which is so much fun. We've made it into that thing of festy thing, and we advertise it, and we pump it into ourselves on TV all the time, and your mouth waters, and it makes you want to go get a burger immediately. So we have made that our diet, but there's physics and biology that says that's deadly. And then we have developed an industry, a screaming industry, one of the most biggest industries on the planet, the pharmaceutical industry, to give us pills to fix us after our diet tries to kill us. And then they're secure as hell, because then they need you to take another round of pills, which they told me to do, to deal with the effects of the $11,000 a bottle pills. Now, these pills are a little cheaper. Oh, boy. That is an industry, and it's fairly worked out. And I don't think any human had the ingenuity to work that out. They take advantage of it. They ride it like a surfer rides a wave, but it's not. It's too ingenious to be thought out by a human. That we have slowly upped our intake of animal protein to where we grow animals for protein now. See, if we just got the occasional rabbit or deer or squirrel or whatever, we'd be at the 10% level. But we like it so much, we grow it. We grow protein. We destroy the earth growing the protein that kills us. We destroy the earth making the nuclear power plant that kills us. All the time somebody's making a shitload of money and nobody wants to change. Nobody wants to hear about plant-based protein that you can get from walking up and down your Earthship hallway. Nobody wants to hear about the energy of thermal mass that is powerfully existing, convincing, if you experience it in one of these ways that I have. Nobody wants to hear about it. So economy continues to drive everything, and nobody invented specific person, didn't invent economy. Economy kind of grew as a cancer. You want to talk about all kinds of different cancers? Economy is one of them. Economy starts out by kind of under the guise of taking care of us, giving us jobs. But now we need jobs so bad that we'll do anything for the jobs, just so that we can have the jobs to make the money to pay for the pills, to pay for the meat, to pay for the pills, to pay for the pills to counteract the pills, to keep the pharmaceuticals rich so that they can keep the whole thing going. And the food industry, you know, I don't think the dairy industry and the meat industry and the pharmaceutical industry and the energy industries are all together trying to kill us, but they are. But they're not organized, it just happened. So, you know, economy is like this corral around us to protect us, but it kept getting higher and closing in, higher and closing in. And now, economy runs the kind of food we get, it runs the kind of energy we get, it runs us, it controls us, and makes us have a good time at the same time. I mean, there's going to be several years where you're going to enjoy your bacon and your cheese and, you know, and your everything that you enjoy eating. You're going to enjoy it for a few years. Then you're going to get the cancer. Then the pharmaceuticals are going to kick in. And then they're going to kick in the pharmaceuticals to back up the pharmaceuticals. And there you are, sitting there, don't want to give up your diet. You're going to continue eating that stuff and continue taking the pharmaceuticals. And the dairy industry keeps getting richer. The meat industry keeps getting richer. Pharmaceutical industry keeps getting richer. And you're going to be sat there in your frame house buying nuclear power. The energy industry ends up getting richer. We, the sheep, the idiots, are feeding these industries, and they don't have to do anything except make a woman with cleavage eating a cheeseburger standing in a nuclear-powered house. All of a sudden, we're mouth-watering and buying it. So we do it. We continue to do it. It's we have brainwashed ourselves. It's people that are doing that, but it's people that are fueling it. As long as we fuel it, it will continue to feed off of us. So what I'm saying, when I started 50 years ago with the Earthship concept, was to get people out of that energy thing and into self-preservation, with the 6 points being dealt with, you know, comfortable shelter, electricity, water, treating your sewage, treating your garbage and food, making your own food. I started trying to get people independent of that. But then people would say, well, I can't grow a cow in my greenhouse, and I can't get milk and dairy, and I can't go rambling, waving fields of grain in my greenhouse. Well, the thing is, you don't need to. First of all, you need to eat less, and second of all, you need to eat only what grows in your greenhouse. And I used to say, well, the Earthship greenhouse will accelerate your diet. And, you know, and I'd make a joke. Well, I can't grow bacon in my Earthship greenhouse, so it's going to be an auxiliary to my diet. It'll keep me from dying. Well, now, for sure, it'll keep me from dying. And now I am saying the answer to that question is, when people ask me, can you grow enough food in your Earthship greenhouse to stay alive? I'm saying, you sure as hell can. You can grow enough food in your greenhouse to live, because you don't want the other stuff. See, it's a 1-2 punch, the way I call it. I'm like Muhammad Ali here. I've tried to get cancer on the ropes. What I've got is, I've learned, this is over, everything I'm saying is oversimplified. You know, you got the internet to check the facts. But first of all, I know what feeds cancer when we take it in excess of 10% of our diet. It is animal protein, animal meats and dairy from animals, and eggs, everything. Animal products, fuel, when they're over 10% of our body, of our diet, they fuel cancer. You can get the chemistry breakdown online. Animal products fuel cancer when you take more than 10% of them. That is a fact. So what I do with the 1-2 punch is, that means that animal products, cancer likes animal products. Yes, you take some meat juice or some casing from milk or whatever and drop it on a cancer cell in a petri dish. It's been done many times, many, many times in the China study and everything. Anyway, you can check that out. The cancer cell loves it. And so my 1-2 punch is, okay, I am absolutely, it's not that I don't want to prevent cancer because I've already got it. So I have to go, my 1-2 punch is all I've got. So I am absolutely eliminating what cancer likes. And it's everything that cancer likes, you know, and it's basically all animal products, you know, and plutonium. I am avoiding plutonium as we speak, as much as I can. I'm avoiding, you know, nuclear energy and coal-fired energy in my home. But I'm avoiding animal-based products. And that's taking away from cancer what it likes. Now, if you take away a creature's what it likes, its food, it gets a little dazed, a little stunned, a little, what the hell am I going to do? Now, you follow up with the second punch. You bombard it with what it doesn't like. In other words, you take away a creature's food and then you start beating the shit out of it. You're going to do something to that creature. Well, cancer is the creature. I'm taking away its food every single drop. I mean, I read a little package now and I see that it's got milk products in it. I throw it away. I don't touch dairy. I don't touch animal-based products because I'm already too far gone to take any risk. So the 1-2 punch is I stun cancer by eliminating, taking away what it likes in my body, and then I take it further by beating the shit out of it with things it doesn't like. And there are things it doesn't like. You drop kale juice or flax oil on a cancer cell, it shrivels up. It doesn't like it. Lemon, garlic, you know, my top six are kale, flax, ground flaxseed, kale, and what is it now? I can't even remember my top three. Kale, parsley. Kale, parsley, and flax are my top three. My next three are garlic, lemon, and beans. So those things cancer doesn't like. So you hit it by depleting what it wants, and you hit it again while it's stunned by giving it what it doesn't like. And that's the same thing I'm doing with Earthships. Is, you know, the energy companies want me to need their energy. So I'm setting myself up to not need the energy. I'm depleting the energy companies of the money that I would give them. Now, if billions of people did this, we would be depleting the energy companies of what they want. And then giving them what they don't want is a no-brainer. You're simply avoiding them. So you're absolutely diminishing, you're transcending your need for the energy companies, and you're transcending your need for the pharmaceutical companies, and you're transcending cancer. You know, it's like the same approach as everywhere. You don't fight a war over it. They fought wars over religion, and, you know, who knows? You may have to fight a war over the dairy. You may have to fight a war with the dairy industry and the meat industry and the pharmaceutical industry. But I don't think they're that smart. If you just don't need them, you don't need them. If you don't need the nuclear power. Now, see, that the nuclear power was sold as cheaper power, cheaper energy, so people bought into it. But then they didn't figure the nuclear power plant was going to melt down. And so now they don't have that power. So now they're cold, basically. So you're talking about very similar things going on. Economy is behind all of it. Economy is behind the lobbyists that lobby for all these things to prevail. But if we do not eat the meat anymore, if we do not need to eat the nuclear or coal-fired power anymore, if we do not eat the dairy anymore, who's going to buy it? You know, like I was on what's his name? What is that guy's show? Colbert, Stephen Colbert. I was on the Colbert Report, and you know he's a comedian. He was a pretty nice guy, actually. And he said, "Well, what if you use all the garbage in your houses? Who is going to provide the fill for the landfills?" That's a great way to look at it. It's a great way to look at it. You know, yeah. If we don't use the nuclear power, if we don't use the meats, if we don't use the dairy, who is going to feed those demons? You know, they're going to die. You know, they're going to die of natural causes. And what I'm thinking is cancer could die of natural causes. These things that we have done to the earth could die of natural causes. And we could be living there, going back and forth with the earth, breathing in, breathing out, harmony with the earth. Just like we breathe in and breathe out air, you know, we breathe in and out in our encounter of the earth. We, you know, a tree drops leaves on the ground. They turn to dirt to make rich soil for more leaves, for more trees to grow. It's a cycle. We do that. We become a part of the earth, breathing in and out of the earth. Everything I have hammered about and people have got sick of hearing about in earthships over the last 50 years is true in the food industry and in the cancer industry. Cancer is an industry. Cancer is a product of our economy. And I agree with the guy that said it is a result of a fruit and vegetable deprivation. It's just the result. It's like the pirates on the ships going across the ocean used to get the deficiency of vitamin C and they'd get scurvy. Well, if you don't ever have any vitamin C, you're going to get scurvy. If you don't have your fruits and vegetables, you're going to get cancer. And the thing, see, cancer has a one-two punch against us. Cancer, we're feeding cancer animal products, meat and dairy, and we're feeding it so it's happy, and then we're doing nothing about it except taking pills that it adapts to. So cancer's got the 1-2 punch on us. All we have to do is fight back. I think that's it for episode 3.